Once again, we have completed what we undertook on last time we were together. I want to call your attention to one passage of Scripture. I can assure you that we are not going to try to finish all that's in this one verse. Hopefully between today and maybe two more Sundays, we'll be out. If not, we'll be out next Sunday. I want you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 12. Reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, the text simply reads, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Based on James's statement here, we want to talk about stand your ground. Stand your ground. Every born again believer in Christ Jesus should have what I call a distinguishing mark. That mark to some might be called charisma. And charisma is nothing more than that which causes a person to stand out in the midst of a crowd. To some, it might be called eloquence, with which it enables a person to be able to sway people through their hearts with their actions. To others, it might be called boldness. And boldness, nothing more than that power that enables a person to reach within themselves and find the power of courage. Or it is possible that to some it might be called humility. I want you to know today that there is nothing wrong with any of those outstanding marks that I just finished talking about. What I do want you to know that if you examine and read what James has to say, none of those qualities comes to mind in James's writings. What James does here in chapter 1, and in fact throughout his book, James lets us know that the key to a successful relationship with Jesus hangs on the hinges of the mark called endurance. When I mention the term endurance, it can also be called persistence, perseverance, faithfulness, or even steadfastness. You can call it whatever you want to call it. The point is, endurance, perseverance, is a key effective element that ought to be found in every believer's life. The backdrop of what James lays out for us If I would open up the curtain of what James is teaching, James would share with us that many of us start out in the midst of a struggling situation. And just in case you didn't get it, let me park for a moment. I don't care who you are, where you live, what age you are, nothing about what you drive, what street you live on, what kind of job you got. If you are a child of God, you will, if you have not already, experience some struggles in this life. James says that we start out in a strong spirit of determination. But later James reminds us that something happens when the storms of life gets worse. We'll start out with the spirit, I'm going to make it through. Everything's going to be all right. James says that unless you deal with the proper fellowship with Christ, when stormy situations come your way, it's easy sometimes to crumble. Some of us will stand still and weep. But you won't find that to be the response recorded by James. James is teaching us in this setting just the opposite. James is saying that no born-again believer should ever have the attitude, I quit, or I will give up. Here in our James chapter 1, verse 12. James seems to draw to a conclusion a subject matter that hangs on the hinges of trials, of struggles, of problems, of heartaches, or of pain. And it is obvious that if you did any kind of reading in this chapter, you can come to the conclusion that when you arrive at verse 12, which our text, that James had not finished talking about the subject matter that he started out talking about, which is trials, struggles, problems. In fact, if you would take a moment and merely back up in your Bibles, you will see that James started the subject of trials at verse 2, 3, and 4 in this chapter. So if you would allow me, before we pull our text apart, let's make the connection of what James is doing in the chapter. So we already know he couldn't be finished talking about trials because he started it in verse 2. So you can see it in 2, 3, and 4. He kind of drops off and picks it back up again when he gets to verse 12. So let's look at the connection. If you note in your Bibles, in verse 2, James does something rather unique. James admonishes his audience to do something. So he establishes some groundwork in verse 2. And listen to what he says. James says, I'm talking to all the saints. I'm talking to all the Christians. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That is the first thing that James establishes. But notice now in that statement what James did not say. you look carefully at verse 2, you'll note that James did not say, if you fall into various trials. James says, when you fall. I don't want to hurt none of y'all's feelings. I love you dearly, but I come today to bust some bubbles. And the bubble I need to bust in your life is stop trying to pretend as if you are exempt from catching hell. If truth be told, every born again believer will experience some problems. Sometimes you don't have to mess with nobody. You can mind your own business. I want to tell you something. Trouble got your address. It knows when you're at home. It knows when you are away from home. So when you think you're safe and you're at your house, the moment you leave, trouble finds you. Watch James now. It teaches us then a very important statement, and that is, it teaches us that all Christians should expect trials to come. I have a problem with fake Holy Ghost folk that every time you talk to them, they got to come up and say, well, you know, I'm mighty and strong. I'm not trying to get you to change your language, but I am trying to get you to understand you are not exempt from problems. So the ultimate question is, what am I to do when hell breaks loose? If we're going to expect that trials are to be a part of our relationship with Christ, then I got no business quitting and falling out and getting angry and upset. One thing for sure, if hell breaks loose, it might be a sign that you are on the Lord's. Listen now, as Peter helps us out. Peter declares in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Peter says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Let me just pause there for a moment. Stop trying to figure out, did I do anything wrong? There comes a time you have not done absolutely nothing wrong at all. But it's a blessing, church, when you can recognize that God loves you enough to qualify you to be a candidate for suffering. Boy, y'all looking at me mighty, mighty strange. Well, verse 2 then can actually serve a twofold purpose. Verse 2 of this text teaches us then that not only is James setting the stage for what trials we are to face and deal with, but James goes a little further, and now he says, let me tell you what is to be expected based on what follows verse 2. In other words, there is a play on terms in the text. Note verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy, and watch the terms he uses. If you have the New King James Version, he says various trials. But then if you slide down into the text that I read in the New King James, it poses a problem because the word temptation is used in our text. So that means then that verse 2, along with our text, has a twofold purpose. And I'm going to leave the decision up to you personally on what you think the meaning of what James is saying. That means then that the word trial could mean a sense of adversity or affliction. That's what that could mean in verse 2. Then later, the word temptation could mean in the sense of enticement to do sin. Am I making sense to everybody? So James wants us to know that trials got to be faced if you stop reading at verse 2 of the text. And then you can actually say that the trials he lists there could later on in his writing give birth to temptation. Boy, I hope y'all understand. Look at what James says in the text. If you slide down under our text and look at James 1:13, it makes sense. James says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So it's a play on terms that we must understand, that it's a possibility that temptation in the text is literally trials, struggles, problems, heartaches, pain, whatever the issue is. Well, let's take a moment and look now at our text. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, in our text, that verse, James lays out three reasons. Well, let me just help your note taking for today. You are not going to have to write down but one. We're not going to rush. We're going to eat this and digest it well. Am I making any sense? So we're going to deal with one thing that James presents in the text to help us to understand why we got to stand our ground. If you're going to stand your ground, you might as well do it right. Now, I can say that because I've been around folk that will curse you out, do everything evil, low down, backstabbing thing, and then they turn around and say, I'm standing my ground. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. I want to talk to Christians who understand that when the going gets tough, there comes a point that you just got to stand, even while crying. See, I can tell already some of y'all ain't been there before. No, because if y'all had been there, y'all would respond. Let me plug this in. Don't let the mask on your face interrupt your worship to God. And I notice this about Christians. We sitting up with mask on. You still got a mouth. You still got a tongue. All you got to do is respond to the word. Don't let the devil steal your worship because of a mask. I ain't teaching slide it down and holler, but holler with the mask on. But don't sit up here like knots on a log. Oh boy, y'all. James. Watch James in the text. The first thing that James lays out in the text is that James says to us that the reason why you ought to stand your ground regardless is because of one thing. The first thing in the text he says is, blessed is the man who endures temptation. But look at the reason. The reason is the person who endures is blessed. Yeah. Let me stop right there. The person, just write that down in your notes. The person who endures is blessed. Blessed. We can go home right now. Are you listening to me? So the first thing that we need to play with is part of the phrase. Notice now that, look at the statement. James says, blessed is the man. Well, James didn't just say, blessed is the man. I need you to know that that is a common statement found in Scripture, okay? Especially in the Old Testament language. That any time you stumble across, blessed is the man. In fact, let me just share with you where you will find it. You will find it in Psalm 1 and 1. You will find it in Psalm 32, verse 2. You will find it in Psalm 34, verse 8. You will find it in Psalm 84, verse 12. Then leave out of the book of Psalms and slide to Proverbs. It is found in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, and Isaiah chapter 56, verse 2. Now, it's not just a statement. Boy, y'all looking at me strange. Listen to what James says. James says, blessed is the man. Now, I don't need any of the women to get offended, because when he says, blessed is the man, you are included in that statement. Now, I know you want to have a slash there and say woman as well, but now you need to read your Bible. Remember now that Adam was pregnant with woman in him. For the Bible declares that he took the rib out of man and created woman. So when James says, blessed is the man, I need you to understand that that can be seen also from a powerful statement made by Jesus. If you study the Sermon on the Mount, when you focus on that, it is recorded in two places. It is recorded in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 down to 11, and Luke chapter 6, verse 23 down to 23. No, 20 down to 23. 20 down to 23. Here's what I want you to understand. When James says, blessed is the man, James, in essence, is literally saying this is a beatitude. It's a what? A beatitude. Because in order to approach the text properly, you got to get your attitude in check. Boy, y'all better. So, let's now take a moment and play with the first word, blessed. The word blessed comes from a Greek word which means happy. Woo! Happy. I'm going to stay there for just a minute before I let y'all go. Happy. Happy. We are in an age where I really believe the church does not understand this pandemic, because God has not gotten our attention. If we let what's happening now put a hole in our joy bubble, we ain't gonna be strong. Boy, y'all ain't. Yeah. Once again, y'all sitting there with the man. Won't nobody know you said amen? They can't see your mouth. But that word bless means happy. Then some other writers go a little bit deeper and they say it means to be congratulated. That means a person has reached a certain plateau. So when we dig deep into James's terminology, I need you to understand that when James says blessed, the term blessed then simply means an inner quality of life. It means a peace. It means a spirit of contentment. It means satisfaction. Lord have mercy. And here's where you can tell folk who have thrown in the towel versus people who are hanging in there. Because when you hang in there, you are different from somebody who throws in the towel. You can tell a Christian who has thrown in the towel. They walk around looking and smelling and acting depressed. Don't ask them any questions, because they're going to talk out of a spirit of depression. Let me help you out. There comes a point in every believer's life, you need to talk to somebody. If you don't do nothing else but get it off your chest. But don't walk around trying to handle everything, and you got it all packed up, and then you come to worship and sit like a knot on a log and can't even wave your hand, too scared to get out of your seat. You need to drop some stuff. You need to dump something. There comes a point, church, that you don't need an answer to your problem. You just need to dump some stuff. Have you ever just needed somebody around that you could just get it off your chest? I did that the other day, and I felt so much better when I just took the key and opened up my heart and let the mess. And don't y'all sit up in here and act like you ain't never been there. You don't need an answer. You got the answer, but the load gets heavy. I'm talking about heavy, heavy. Oh boy, y'all, I can tell y'all ain't been there. I'm talking about so heavy you just sit there and cry. And even when you finish crying, you can cry some more because you haven't released it. And God sometimes will send the right people your way where you don't need an answer, but they will just let you pour it out. I'm going to be out here. I'm going to be out here. I'm going to be out here. Notice in the text. Notice in the text. So the phrase in the text, when James says, blessed is the man, is just like that of a beatitude. I'm going to stop in just a minute. How can I prove it, preacher? I want you to go home now and read the Beatitudes and go back and read this text that I've gotten to you. This Beatitude, look at it carefully now. That statement I read in the text. No verb is literally placed there in the Greek. So in the original language, there is no verb. In other words, it might be a prayer, or it might be a thing where James is just at a point, he's just throwing out an explanation. In other words, James might be hollering, oh, the blessing. Boy, y'all, oh, the blessing. Look at how James started the thing off. He said, blessed is the man. So if it's going to be like a beatitude, James got happy and just said, I might be catching hell, but oh, the blessing. The load is heavy, but oh, the blessing. I cried in the midnight hour, but oh, the blessing. I don't see how God going to work it out, but oh. Sister Paul, I don't even think I'm going to make it to the second point. Listen to this. It carries the idea that when James says, blessed is the man, James is talking about spiritually prosperous. Oh, boy. See, I need to work on your attitude before I put anything in your pocket. See, sometimes God won't open up the windows of heaven, because if he poured out all the blessings right away, your attitude is in the wrong place. Anybody can shout when all your bills paid. Some of y'all are tear up this place right now. If I said, well, today your pastor played the numbers and I got X amount of millions and I'm going to give everybody up in here a big figure. I ain't got to beg you. I wouldn't even, in fact, I have to tell some of y'all, sit down. The benediction has been given. But James says, blessed. He had even told you about the hell you're catching. He just starts off and say, blessed is the man. So the ultimate lesson that James is teaching us is based on the word blessed. So let me end it and tell you this. If you just write down in your notes, blessed, James is saying it is God who provides us with the blessing. Can I tell y'all why some folk don't shout and give God praise? They got their idea of where their blessings come from confused. They think because they got breath in their body and go to work, they got it through their paycheck. Oh, but I got news for y'all. There are a whole lot of folk get up every day and go to work. And there are some folk, like Brother Shelley says, stay at home, don't have to work. The bank account helps them out, but they ain't happy. No, they ain't happy. And that's why some of us still struggling, because our attitude ain't been in the right place. See, God is just sitting there ready to take his finger and crack the window and drop you your blessings. But when he drops the blessing, you got to have the right attitude. So God is saying, if I give you a little, can you shout? So if I give you a bag full of blessing, I know you're going to praise me. Blessed is the man. So if you don't get nothing else, I ain't even got to the next word in the text. James is saying, blessed is the man. So if you don't get nothing today, this is something I want you to hold on to. When you walk out the door and the enemy say, well, I got you. You look that sucker in the eye and say, bless. That's what you got to do. I'm talking about just say it boldly. Bless. You can talk about me, but I'm going to tear you back to your face. Bless. You can even lie on me, but I'm going to holler back at you. Blessed. I'm finished. Finished. Ooh, Sister Paul, I owe you one. You said it, and I just knew I was going to get through that whole thing. So next Sunday, we're going to go a little bit further. We still with bullet number one. Let me back up in your notes, y'all. I told you the person who endures is what? Blessed. I'm still with that one phrase. James said, blessed is the man. Then he put a qualification onto it. Who endures temptation. We haven't gotten to enduring. I just want y'all to leave today hollering, blessed. Have you ever wanted to grumble, wanted to complain, and then you look at somebody else that don't even have what you already got, and they praying for what you got while you praying for something else? Never lose sight of what you already got trying to get something else. You got to tell the Lord, I am. Yeah, damn, bless. Bless Jones. Bless. Bless. I'm blessed. Doors of church are open. You may come as a candidate for baptism, Christian experience, or by letter.